Welcome back to 32 Fans in 32 Days. I'm Alex Chester. With me, as always, is Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, how's it rolling?
Rolling well. Not my favorite team to talk about. Although I will say, we're talking about the Miami Dolphins today. We'll introduce our guest in a second.
Miami Dolphins. Yeah, sorry.
Something, number one. My wife is from Miami, Florida. Yeah. It's the only thing she knows about the Dolphins. I will say, I've noticed with some Dolphins fan, like Facebook friends, and also with our guest who we'll introduce in a second, a lot of like anti-Jets propaganda, like memes and stuff. You think in my life I've ever posted like an anti-Dolphins listen, obviously they're better than us right now. We generally go back and forth between one of us is usually horrendous, but I've never given a minute's thought to the Dolphins, and all these Dolphins fans, I think because like they have to deal with so many awful New Yorkers all day because they live in South Florida or wherever, and you know, all these transplants. It's crazy how much like in their heads the Jets are, even more than the Patriots. So here's our guest, Mike Woodburn, podcast expert and Dolphins fan. Mike Woodburn, explain yourself. Why do you care about the Jets so much, Mike?
Oh man, tough to stay quiet there. You know, I think it's from the last 20 years of, you know, always going back and forth with you guys, and
yeah,
just, you know, the team sucks. The Patriots have always been dominating the division, so yeah, everybody needs a punching bag. And yeah, unfortunately, yeah, for the Jets, that's who Dolphins fans have chosen as their punching bag. And this year is just a great, great season to, you know, punch that bag.
But it's not, because the Jets are trying to lose.
And also, you guys have Jay Cutler. Okay, so when we last had you on the podcast, it was before the game against the Steelers, the playoff game, where you were stuck with Matt Moore. And you were excited to be back in the playoffs the first time in a while, but I don't think anybody in the universe thought the Dolphins had a chance of winning that game. And somehow things are even worse for you guys now, because now you have Jay Cutler, who just does not care about anything, including, Cutler's barely going to show up for the – he's not going to know the plays. He's going to show up 5 minutes before game time. I mean, go ahead.
No, it's fine. What I'll say about that is, obviously, it sucks that Tannehill went down. I mean, you know, everybody has their opinions on Tannehill, and, you know, I think most people would agree that he's better than Cutler. I am not happy, necessarily, that Cutler's on the team. I will say, out of all the options that we could have rolled with, I didn't want to see Matt Moore out there for 16 games this year. I think having somebody that Gase is familiar with is the best case scenario of a really, really crappy situation. So, I don't know.
Well, what is the expectation this season?
Well, I mean, before Tannehill went down, and not even Tannehill, before Tony Lippett went down, and Raekwon McMillan, and, Ted Larson, our starting left guard, before all these guys have been dropping like flies from the injuries, I looked at the schedule and thought, it's reasonable that, you know, we can go 9-7. Not necessarily make the playoffs, but, you know, a winning season.
You definitely could have made the playoffs with Tannehill. The AFC's not so strong.
Well, the AFC's not so strong, but...
But again, you guys had a ceiling. You guys are like the Lions in the AFC's Lions. Like, you could make the playoffs if everything goes right, but you're not winning the Super Bowl or making it.
I'd agree with that. And before all these injuries happened, that's pretty much what my prediction was. But now, especially with Jay Cutler as the quarterback, I don't know. I'm thinking maybe 6-10, 7-9. I'd like to do better.
So then what's Cutler's purpose? Why do you sign him then?
Well, because no team on the face of the earth other than the Jets is going to just admit defeat before the season begins.
How great would that be if you had two teams, like three, because some people think the Bills are tanking, so you could have had teams tanking against the Patriots this year. Would have been
Look, all three of us cannot give the division to the Patriots, you know, lying down. We have to at least put up a fight.
And no, we're lying down. Yeah.
Well, apparently Jets are.
It could be worse because the Vikings had a situation like this last season, but when we went and signed our Jay Cutler and Sam Bradford, we also gave up a first-round draft pick. So at least all it cost you was $10
million. You just gave money, which has no impact on next year.
Yeah, and you know, it's a one-year deal, so, I mean, it definitely could be worse. Again, I'm not thrilled about it, but
this is a guy who's most famous. We were talking about memes. He's most famous for the fact that he doesn't care about anything, and his meme is, you know, that he doesn't care and he's sitting there smoking a cigarette. And that's before he retired and reluctantly joins the team a week before the season starts when he had a gig on Fox. I mean, he's just so indifferent, you know. He's going to be out partying in Miami till 2 in the morning on Saturday nights.
Well, you know, again, Adam Gase believes in him more than other people do, and whether that's right or wrong, I trust him. And if this is the quarterback he wants to roll with, and if it prevents us from, you know, again, having Matt Moore out there for 16 games a year, then I'm okay with it.
Matt Moore's the class. The classic.
Matt Moore's the classic example of your guy who everybody always likes Matt Moore as a backup, but
the more
in
he
that
plays,
game,
it's like, yeah, he's just okay. Right. He'll be exposed against the better teams, obviously.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, as somebody who's watched him, you know, for years and years, you know, not too much because Tannehill's been in Iron Man up until recently, he can get the job done for a game or two, like a backup should. But as a full-time starter, it makes me cringe even thinking about it. He is a time bomb when he's on that field. As much as Jay Cutler throws interceptions, Matt Moore terrifies me on that level.
Well, given Jay Cutler's injury history, you'll be seeing more Matt Moore, I think.
Yeah, I agree. They'll both probably play a lot of games. It's also funny because Cutler...
offensive line is, you know, still an issue.
Probably your team's weak.
5 years later.
The problem, you know, the shame of it is... let me just say Cutler, it was like, oh, I can't believe Cutler left the Fox gig. And then someone reported like, yeah, he's making at least $10 million from the Dolphins, and Fox was paying him $450K. So literally, he would have to work for Fox for 22 years.
Even if you have a reputation for not caring, I think, you know, you care a little bit about the $10 million there.
Yeah, Kristen Cavallari saw that they were offering $10 million and, like, drove him to Miami. that's a lot of, like, Instagram, you know, sponsored ads that she would have had to sell. Of course, the shame of it is that you guys probably had the best receiving core you've had in our lifetimes this year. I mean, you know, maybe, like, really, it's really up there with, like, you know, some of the Marino guys like get overrated a little bit because their quarterback was Marino.
Devontae Parker was a big disappointment last year from fantasy.
I agree, but he's their third receiver.
Well, I think Kenny Stills is a less reliable guy than Parker. If Parker is doing what he's supposed to do.
Landry's the most underrated guy in the league.
Oh, I love Landry. I mean, he's very good. Go on and on about that forever. As far as Devontae Parker goes, again, you have to take all of this stuff with a grain of salt, but everything reported in the offseason has been he finally got his act together. He's finally working out. He's staying healthy. You know, he's training how he's supposed to do, and everybody is anticipating him to have a breakout season. Now,
wait, hold on. Can I just be clear? Did he come to camp in the best shape of his life?
Again, I take it all with a grain of salt, but... between Jarvis Landry, Kenny Stills, Julius Thomas, if he remains healthy, and Devontae Parker, Cutler is going to have, you know, anybody on that field to throw to and make something happen. I mean, it is just an insanely stacked receiving core.
Yeah, the skill positions in general, like the tight ends are, you know, even Fasano and Gray are competent players. And, you know, and as Vijay can you know, be 80% as good as he was last year, obviously, you're going to be able to move the ball even if Cutler's semi-useless. But you're right. The offensive line is, you know, it's not a championship offensive line.
No, and, you know, last season we saw glimpses of what it could be like when it's fully healthy. But, you know, it sounds like a broken record, but it just all depends on the health. And particularly it depends on Mike Pouncey staying healthy. And I said before, you know, Tannehill went down and all these other injuries happened, that the biggest factor for our success this season was Pouncey staying healthy. And to be honest, I don't see that happening. I would love it if he did, but... you know, he's glass at this point.
Yeah, switching to the defense, like, obviously there's some scary guys on the defense, starting with Cameron Wake. One thing that I noted was the front seven, probably the oldest front seven in the league. There's a lot of old dudes here.
Yeah, so William Hayes, obviously, Cameron Wake, and, you know, just a ton of aging veterans.
Lawrence Timmons?
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. See, so
Kiko Alonso, like, people thought he was done, like, 4 years ago also.
That brings us to, you know, I guess...
But they like him in Miami because he's cute.
So, before the season began, you know, going all the way back to last season, the last time I was on the podcast, I think I mentioned how weak our linebacking core was and how I just had no faith in it. And over the course of the offseason, we did very little to improve that. Really, the biggest thing that we did is draft Raekwon McMillan in the second and bring in Lawrence Timmons. And, you know, McMillan's a good pickup. He's out for the season now. But Timmons, you know... I don't see how signing an aging guy like that is going to be, you know, the change that we all need in that linebacking core. So I'm a little dumbfounded at, you know, what the defense is trying to do there.
I think you guys had the worst run defense in the league last year, and if that's going to stay the same, Akiva, you're doing your fantasy survivor in your 4-1 pool again this year, right?
Yeah, you got.
Yeah,
it.
So I'm going to say start your Jets, Bilal Powell against the Dolphins this year.
Look, I would stay away from anything Jets related, but, you know, again, we'll try to stay off of that point too much. But, no, as far as the run defense goes, they brought in guys like Timmons. You know, they moved Kiko Alonso, I think, to weak side linebacker. They brought in William Hayes, who is known for stopping the run.
No, he's known for not believing in dinosaurs, but he stops the run.
On the field, that is. But they made these moves to stop the run, but... you know, the coverage, especially, again, it sounds like a broken record, but the linebackers, it's just, it's not any better. It, arguably, it could be worse this year, which, I mean, tight ends just destroyed us up the middle of the field, so I'm anticipating that a lot more this season.
And what about the secondary? People like Tankersley, rookie last year, right? What do you think the secondary could be like an above average?
We got two new safeties. Aren't TJ McDonald and Nate Allen, right?
Yeah, yeah. So free safety is actually kind of another problem area. Nate Allen will probably hold down the spot for the first 8 to 10 games. TJ McDonald is suspended right now for the first half of the season. And, you know, once he's able to play, he'll probably take over that free safety role.
Wait, what's he suspended for?
What is he suspended for? Was it substance abuse?
They don't specify, and the players' union doesn't let them specify.
Oh.
Unless it's like, like hitting somebody. They don't. If it's a substance, they don't say.
Gotcha. Well, yeah, I mean, he's probably going to take the reins, you know, on the second half of the season. But moving forward, I anticipate big things for this unit. It's probably, other than the D-line itself, is probably our best unit because we're getting Rashad Jones back, because Byron Maxwell and Xavien Howard are going to be in the system for the second year. And then, you know, like you mentioned earlier, Tankersley. I think he was a steal in the third round, and he might not get a lot of playing time early in the season, but I think he's going to help us out, you know, moving forward.
All right, Mike, it's time for America's favorite running segment. It's the roster game. Pick a number between 0 and 100.
Oh, boy. Let's say 73.
Ooh, 73. Tell me everything you know about Storm Johnson.
Storm Johnson.
Sounds like a meteorologist in the 70s.
That's right.
You know, honestly, that's a pretty awesome name. I'll take it any day. But Storm Johnson is a preseason hero, which basically tells you that between Jay Ajayi, Damian Williams, and Kenyon Drake, he is more likely than not going to make the team. He might go to the practice team or practice squad, but, you know, he's doing fine in the preseason. Some other team might pick him up and might be a solid, you know, two or three. Just depends, but, you know, no hard feelings against him. Just we're kind of well off of that position.
Mm-hmm. Apparently he scored a couple touchdowns for the Jaguars 3 years ago. I don't know what he's been doing since.
Like I said, preseason hero ever since. So
that's right. They should make a list of, like, there's certain guys. The truth is, like, Danny Woodhead was that before he became good. Victor Cruz was a preseason hero before he became good.
Miles Austin, I think, also.
A lot of the time, by the way, people I actually think, I was thinking this the other day, people have come to underrate the preseason. If you stink during the preseason, you're probably bad. And if you're amazing in the preseason, at the very least, you could probably play in the league a little bit. People underrate the preseason.
I disagree with that. Bill Barnwell's written persuasively about this. That's not true.
There's levels of it, but what I will say is last year, whenever Dak Prescott was, you know, the true preseason hero of the decade, if not the century, I actually was at a Dolphins game in Dallas week two, and man, he just lit us up. I mean, he destroyed us, and there are times whenever it translates to the regular season, and more often than not, it just doesn't. So, you know, I'm with you, Alex. I don't really think too highly of the preseason, but, you know, I mean, if you do good, you have a better chance of being good in the regular season. But if you do bad, I don't think it's going to instantly translate to, you know, you stinking in the regular season.
So I shouldn't buy a Chris Harper jersey yet, you're saying?
Yeah, I wouldn't really spend the money on that quite yet.
I've noticed a really disturbing trend on Twitter this summer as too many people are tweeting live play-by-play of the teams they follow, their preseason games. And it's sort of like
the beat writers nowadays do stats for the practices.
It's
been going on for years.
I'm not even talking about beat writers. I'm talking about people I follow who are just like fans of the team.
Oh, yeah, they shouldn't do that. You should not tweet. Oh, listen,
it's spring training. You're going to start muting all these people when they're giving like play-by-play of, you know, split squad games in February.
Oh, yeah. No, I watch the Jets like after the fact because you could go through it. And I'm not spending 3 hours on a preseason game when I could spend 30 minutes.
Yeah. I pretty much just watch the Dolphins game and then I'll put on a game and have it on the second
But you're not live tweeting
as background noise. No, of course not.
Good. That's good.
No.
All right, so Mike is also, Chester, before we do the over-under, Mike is a noted podcast expert. You're the you started the Earwolf Reddit, which isn't really Earwolf. It's really like podcasts and comedy podcasts. It's a very good subreddit that I highly recommend. And also, you're just you called yourself before the show a podcast addict, right?
Yeah, without a doubt.
And I asked you how many podcasts you subscribe to, and you said...
I am currently subscribed to 92 of them.
92 podcasts. And do you listen to 92 in like all of them or no? Some of them it's like you look for the guest, and if it's a good guest, then you listen.
So if it's an ongoing weekly podcast, I binge listen to it all. I listen to from episode one all the way to current. There's a lot of podcasts in there that have kind of been mini-series that have ended. And then there's probably like three or four that I just pick and choose the guests. But for the vast majority, yeah, I mean, I dig in from episode one all the way back to...
That's like a full-time job, Mike.
Yeah, where do you have the time?
Well, I mean, luckily for me, I do work outside and have, you know, a job where I just work alone. You can pop the headphones in and for 10 hours a day,
but even so, that's a lot of time. Like, even if your job was listening to podcasts, you might, like, I might not listen to 92 podcasts.
Are you listening beyond 2.0 speed?
No. In fact, I listen at regular speed. I don't cut any, you know, the audio. I don't cut any intro.
Wait, do you fast forward the commercials at least?
No.
Mike, do you cook a lot of food?
Yeah, how many Audible books do you have in Blue Apron? Yeah, exactly.
A lot of Blue Apron going on in Mike's
house. Stamps.com.
I have a Lisa mattress, I'll say that.
All right, so I'm going to ask you for your top five currently in a second, but I just wanted to tell a story, speaking of people who listen to a lot of podcasts. I was just at a family pool party, I think a four or soon to be mentioned, depending on when this posts, with someone familiar with the podcast. And Chester had said he listens, but it's weird, Mike. I can't say, like, hey, do you listen to my podcast? That would be, like, the dorkiest question ever. But he said
Steve?
To me, yeah, he said...
Oh, Steve definitely listens, because he emails me comments every week.
He said he used to listen, but he hasn't really listened recently. Like, because my work doesn't, you know, like, what I'm doing now, it's not really conducive. So I'm like, yeah, I know. It's like, everyone listens to zero podcasts, maybe one podcast, like a serial, or 100, right? There's no in between. Zero,
yeah,
one, or 100.
And I get it,
four. So I said, yeah. I get it. It's like, you know, you don't have time for it. But he's like, yeah, I listen to 100. So I'm like, wait, you listen to 100, but not this one?
Oh, man, that's not what you got to tell you guys. Come on.
No, it was funny. It was fine. But all right, so you listen to 92 podcasts. I told my two favorite. Chester considers his favorites, by the way, the shows he's on. So that's a little strange. But he literally, we do podcast rankings. Maybe we'll actually have you on for this year.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Every year we rank our top 10 podcasts one of the last weeks, you know, when you do like the end of the year lists in December. So Chester ranks his show and like the shows he's like guested on or involved with as like his top few. And I always have Doughboys and Hollywood Handbook as my top two.
Oh, yeah. Those two are top.
And this week we had the blessing of Nick Weiger last week on Hollywood Handbook, which is like mixing the two, which, like, if I told you how happy it made me, it would be the saddest thing in the whole world. Give us your top five going right now. Give us everyone, the listeners, some podcast recs.
Sure. So if you're into improv, if you're into comedy, then the two you mentioned, particularly Hollywood Handbook, is, you know, one of the best for that. I really like another one called Improv for Humans.
Mm-hmm. Not bad, sir.
If you're into improv and fantasy, then there's one called Hello from the Magic Tavern, which is
fantasy, like sci-fi, not fantasy football, because this is a football show.
Yeah, sorry.
So most
people
probably thought you were like an improv fantasy football podcast, which, by the way, Mike, sounds like the worst idea I've ever heard.
Oh, no, it's amazing. Come on. The weirder these podcasts sound, the better they usually are. So, again, that's where the attic comes in.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you got Hollywood Handbook, you got Improv for Humans, you got Hello from the Magic Tavern, Doughboys, again, you know, is a great one. I'll throw out just two more. There's a new one called Off Book. It's an improvised musical.
Yeah, I've listened to one or two of them.
Yeah, and, you know, I am not into musicals at all.
Neither am I.
I was really just, you know, skeptical on it, but man, it's good. It's really, really good.
So, did I tell you, by the way, sorry to interrupt you and tell a boring family story? Chester, I don't think I've said this. My sister is like, the way I like sports, my sister likes Broadway, and she lives like, you know, a 40-minute train ride from the city. She's 16, and she literally made friends on Twitter, and she goes to like Broadway shows with like strangers. And again, she's 16, and some of these friends are like 35, and are probably going to murder her one day. But, like, my mom said, like, when she was going to meet a new friend, my mom was nervous because, again, she was 15 years old at the time. And she said, I want to come, like, see what's going on. And my sister, because she's a lunatic, brought, like a scrapbook for the star of a Broadway show. I want to say the star of Anastasia, which is a musical. It might be Emily, but I think it's Anastasia. And my mom thought it was weird, but okay, we'll, like, drop it off at the desk, and I'm sure, like, they'll never see it. And my mom says they walk in and they like get led into the box office at the musical. And the box office manager, like the ticket guy, recognizes my sister by name, like, hi, Kayla. Oh, man. And the star of the musical, like the titular star of the musicals, mom is there and literally knows my sister's name and like who she is. Wow. And my sister says, can I just like hand you this to give to, I think her name is Christy, the star of the show. And they're like, no, you can go give it to her. And my mom says, like, my sister goes back into the dressing room of the star of this Broadway musical, like unprompted, unannounced, and hangs out with her for 90 minutes until my mom literally has to leave and has to like break it up and take them home. So, you know, the point is, I should have like tried to, not that I ever wanted to meet athletes, but she's at least a go-getter. Like, she likes, you know, things, and she actually like meets these people, whereas I was like sitting home like, oh, I want to do something in sports, but like didn't act on it till I was 25.
The moral of that story should be, you know, if I obsess enough about the Miami Dolphins, maybe I can meet Adam Gase one day.
Well, you maybe know, you could be on the Miami Dolphins possibly one day.
Yeah, well, you know, if you guys see how scrawny I am, I don't think I'd last too long.
And are you from Florida? Why are you a Dolphins fan? I forget, Mike.
No, it's fine. So my dad, he grew up in Miami and passed on, you know, all of his glory days from the 70s and the 80s onto mm-hmm. me with the Patriots dominating. So, you know, thanks, Dad.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, did you have one more podcast? Because then we got to do over-under and finish up. Did
you have one more podcast? So the last podcast is just one for Dolphins fans particularly. It's called mm-hmm. Perfectville. It's a really good podcast if you want to.
Did the Dolphins once go 14-0? They never mention it.
Oh, yeah, no, it's something like that, you know. I think the Patriots tried to do something like that, but it didn't work out.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you're not talking. We hate the Patriots more than the Dolphins, so I don't know who you're talking
to. You're not a Marlins fan, Mike, are you?
No, thank God. Okay. No, I'm talking more to your listeners, whoever the Patriots fans are out there. No, I know you guys are good.
All right, so let's give them the over-under, Chester. What is the
Dolphins? So the over-under for this team is 7.5, which seems like it wasn't lowered enough after Tannehill's injury.
Obviously, I think it was 8.5 when Tannehill was healthy.
Yeah. If that's still the over-under, then I'll take the under, as much as that pains me to say, because I think that maybe like 8, you know, was pretty fair when everybody was healthy. But with all these injuries, you know, before the season even begins, it's not looking too great.
Yeah. Sometimes a team just has a year where it looks good, and then by like September 1st, it's just not to be. You know, there's one or two teams every year that get devastated by injuries. And obviously you guys are, you know, not just the top of this list this year, but this is one of the worst injury years anybody's had in August.
Well, but then, look, the Vikings were that last year, and then they started 5-0, and then they trick you into thinking, oh, wow, we're going to do it anyways.
They literally ran out of players, the Vikings, last year. NFL players.
That would be perfect, you know, because last season we started 1-4 and then went on a tear. So if we start 5-0 and then go the opposite way, then, you know, somebody's just laughing at me.
It's weird because the Dolphins have a hard schedule. They play a lot of really good teams. Obviously, they play the Patriots twice, but they also have some gimme games, obviously 2 against the Jets, 2 against the Bills. Come to mind.
Well, I mean, as much as I would love for those to be gimme games, if there's one thing the Jets are great at, it's just destroying the Dolphins. I mean, last season
that's
was
they have an
more
NFL
of an anomaly.
I mean, if you can't beat these Jets, then you should just go home. We shouldn't even be spending 20 minutes talking about the Dolphins right now. you got the Rams. You guys start with the Bucks, Rams, and Jets. That's really pretty soft. We both hate the Saints. Chester and I, that's your week 4 opponent. The Titans, you know, we haven't talked about yet, but people are overrating them a little bit. You have the Jets again. Like, the Ravens might stink. The schedule's not terrible. You don't play the Patriots till after Thanksgiving.
No, the schedule doesn't really get too hard until after the bye week, which I think is week 11 or something.
Yeah, week 11.
So leading up to that, you know, if we don't take advantage of it early on, then we're in for a rough ride.
Yeah, I mean, the Patriots could be like 10-1 and barely trying by the time you even start playing them. But weirdly,
it's
such a weird schedule because you play the Jets twice relatively early, but those are your only divisional games till you get week 12 and 14 with the Patriots. They don't play the Bills. I've never seen this before under the new schedule where the divisional games do shift later. You don't play the Bills till week 15, and then you play them 2 weeks later.
Yeah, I remember seeing that, and I don't know what is up with them making 4 division games, you know, after the bye week, you know, crammed into that, like, 6-week period. So
I have no doubt when they made the schedule, Mike, they were like, all right, this is the best schedule we have. The only problem is the Dolphins have a super bizarre last 6 weeks. Like, two against there's rarely, I think the Bucks and the Falcons had it last year, or one, two of those NFC South teams. They really try not to make two games in 2 weeks. You know, obviously not back-to-back, but, you know, with skipping a week, because it just feels very redundant the second time. And, like, the second time you play the Patriots, it's literally the Monday Night Football game, which I'm sure ESPN went ballistic about, that, like, it's the second Dolphins-Patriots game in a short span. I guarantee ESPN hated that.
I'm sure.
All right, so we got an under from Mike, who's, I think, usually pretty optimistic, but, again, hard to be optimistic when you're missing your QB. He's still going to be hating on the Jets on Twitter. What's your Twitter handle, Mike?
Sure, it's at @leprechaun_Leon.
Yeah, and people should check you out on the Earwolf subreddit, right?
Yeah, for sure. If you like comedy, if you like podcasts, then it doesn't have to be Earwolf. Just come on by and let's just, you know, talk about being comedy nerds.
Talk about Doughboys. All right. Okay. All right, Mike, thanks so much for coming on. I don't know if we'll be talking to you playoff time, but maybe next year. And best of luck to Mr. Cutler. Really, worst of luck, because I hate anti-vaxxers so much, but... It's not personal. Well,
no. I that's actually been a pretty heated debate on the subreddit. So, yeah, fun stuff.
I mean, listen, you know, there's 53 guys on a team. Not every team's not going to have 53 great guys. But I happen to find that, like, you know, I had a dream like 3 nights ago that I, like, beat up somebody who was anti-vax. And I'm sure in real life they would have, like, destroyed me. But
I was about to say, I hate to tell you, but I think Jay Cutler could take you.
Well, it wasn't Jay Cutler, but
it's all good.
All right, Chester, you still here?
Yeah, I'm here. Mike, right. Thanks so much for joining us.
And, no, appreciate you guys having me on.
You'll have Akiva rooting very hard for your team when you play the Jets.
Yes,
this year.
I will be rooting for the Dolphins for the first time ever when they play the Jets. That's correct.
See, I just hope that the Jets do what the Jets do and they go about 4-12 this season. That's my only hope.
Nope, not 4-12. 1-15.
No, we got to go 4-12. Got to, you know, get that, like, you know, fifth,
won't
sixth
it be more
pick
fun
or so.
When the Jets get the first pick? And Jets fans trash talk you, and then they pick like the next Christian Hackenberg at number one.
It's what they do.
Yeah. All righty. Thanks for coming on, Mike. Best of luck this season, and we'll catch you around. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
To the Vikings. Best of luck to the Jets. I'll see you guys later. All right.
Thanks, Mike. Bye.
Bye.